Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Cue and your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining. Whether you're a station chief, a reporter, a warden, or an inmate, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple: inspire others and equip all to leave where they are. Get them on cue. In other words, get them on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which our purpose, and on cue with, get others on cue with that purpose. You know, what is cue? It's C-U-E. It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a stark, desperate, broken people in building a wall around Jerusalem and essentially building a way of life. He cued them up, C-U-E. And the Q is an acronym for, C is for common ground. It is what can we agree on as to why we're doing something. U, unified thought. What vision can we share together is really the what. And E, equally yoked, what is the game plan, what is the role, what is the end game, what success looks like, is really the how. So Q Leadership integrates these biblical principles, leadership using Nehemiah as the model and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you, so discipleship, which are those are the two premises around leadership. Can I get you to trust me? Can I get you to follow me? So we're going to start our program today with the prayer. Lord, you're powerful, merciful, loving God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry, our audience, and all those who are serving you. We honor you today by doing two things. We want to give you the glory and serve this generation. I know that Q Leadership is your brainchild and our calling, but as your words say in Romans 12:2, let us be not transformed to this world, yet let's not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Lord, lead us in raising some transformation leaders and gatekeepers in your name. Please use this ministry to help others hear the call and receive the call. In other words, understand that there is a higher calling, and this journey is for everyone, and we pray that, and that we be open and hear you and not me. Let your word shine through, and let us have the right questions. No matter the differences we may encounter, let us help us remember that it's about love. And, Lord, there be differences of opinions, Heavenly Father, but we know, like one of your transformation leaders said, let us agree without being disagreeable. Amen. Well, welcome. You know, today this show is on cue. We have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's Word. We'll equip leaders with a roadmap in order to tap in faith and building that trust and discipleship. And, of course, we highlight everyday leaders that are making a difference and that can testify to God's goodness and where they're being transformational in their community and places they serve. Our show is not to criticize, but is to shine a light on some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lenses or to see things. And it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem in our society, but really the root of the problem. We want to treat the infection, not the runny nose. You know, we're in my favorite time of the year, Christmas. Tis the season to love, share gifts, and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank God for allowing us to see another one. This is special for me two reasons. Number one, it's the first one without my dad, my pops, who we lost to his bout to cancer this past Easter weekend. And the second reason is a gift of protection that he granted me yesterday. I was driving and hit a slick spot and entering a major highway and just spun out and slammed into a concrete barrier. And I thank God for not spinning back into the traffic, and I thank you for airbags because it ultimately saved me on yesterday. You know, there's a purpose in this accident, and the accident tells me that he's not done with me yet in fulfilling my purpose. And as our Q Leadership teaches, he will provide you gifts in order to help you fulfilling and confirming that purpose. And I'm not talking about those intangible gifts of charisma and singing, speech, but I'm talking about those tangible gifts that we get during this time of the year at Christmas and as we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. I'm sure we can think of some great gifts that we all received and as well as we gave. So growing up, we would have Christmas plays in our community church, and I remember my first major role as being one of the three kings, one of the Magi, following the star, bearing gifts for the one true king. I carried the gold, and I forgot who carried the frankincense, but my brother carried the myrrh, because he wanted to be last because he was the cool one to come in. But, you know, those three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, were the gifts for Jesus Christ. All three gifts foretold his purpose. God, the gold, because he was the one true king, the way, the truth, and the light. Frankincense, for his priestly duties, healing, mending, restoring, bringing forth new life. Myrrh, for anointing his body, for he was to die for us and pay the price for our sin, therefore reconciling us to God by his grace. Christ paved the way for us to do as we come as we are, and it is really the first steps in really understanding your purpose. So as we come as you are, you know, if you know your purpose and he has provided some resources with you, what are your three gifts? That's the task I wanted to ask everyone to do in the coming months. Just understand what are those three gifts that someone has given you that's tangible you can touch. And you should really figure out those three gifts or either define or confirm your purpose. So essentially my purpose is summed up in this. Is to align, equip, and transform new leaders for God's glory, simply put. My gifts from the Magi in modern day were, you know, a science kit that had a microscope and magnifying glass and a host of things to run experiments on bugs, whatever I could find. I could put it on the magnifying glass, and that really sparked a curiosity in order to analyze and build a problem-solving school or work. But it's also made it easy for me to dissect Nehemiah and create this ministry around transformation leadership. The second gift was a study Bible. My sister Gladys bought for me when I moved to Texas after college. This allowed me to study the Word and make it a part of me. And the third gift was really a note from a stranger on the train about who I should be leaning on. My career was really progressing, and there's some things that were about to happen that the stranger gave me a note about. It went similar like this, you know, a basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is is $33 million. Basketball in my hands is a missed free throw. We talked about Tiger Woods, and it got down to, say, you know, two loaves and five fish in my hands is a fish sandwich, but two loaves and five fish in Jesus' hand will feed the multitude. A staff in my hand is I can fight back the dogs. A staff in Moses' hand can part the Red Sea. Nail in my hand, nail and board in my hand is a birdhouse, but a nail and board in Christ's hand, you know, saves the world. So it depends on whose hands it's in. So it's asked me to, the note said, put your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, and all your family, everything you want, your heart's desire in the hands of the Lord, because it depends on whose hands it's in. So that really and truly, those three gifts help define me. So the Lord gives us these gifts. And so that we can touch and feel something that we cannot do. Is some things are tangible, some things are not. As you know, giving in this season is better than receiving. We all have something to give to this world in His name. Each of us is, in a sense, is God's magi. Yeah, He has given us these gifts to bear, but helps you to find your purpose. But you know, really, what the question of the day is? Yeah, you have some gifts, but how are we delivering those gifts? How are we delivering those gifts? Just as important as having them. So to help us with that question, we have a special guest today, and who we want to highlight a modern day magi, J.J. Pruitt, who has led and is leading by giving of himself his entire life. As far as I can know him, as far as others have shared that know him, he's a true difference maker who is serving selflessly, impacting this generation, and making a difference. We highlight him and honor his work in Christ's name, as well as reminisce a little bit about the glory days of college football back at Jacksonville State. So after the break, we'll bring on J.J. Pruitt. So stay with us. We'll be blessed to hear in him today. And if you have any questions, feel free to call and dial in at 310-861-2331 or contact us at onq@qleadership.org or inbox me at Facebook at Q Foundation. You are listening to On Q, and I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on Q, and your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are by giving us, getting them on Q with God's will and His purpose. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. You know, what can I say about my guest? Ladies and gentlemen, we share much and could provide a whole show about putting work in to win the national championship, or how it took the turns, as we took turns in leading chapel back in the day before every game. J.J. Pruitt, he is a TV reporter for Fox 6 News in Birmingham, Alabama, a husband, a father, a lover of Christ. J.J. has had the spirit of giving all his life, and he's a true difference maker and to all that he meets. He and his wife, Carrie, has a nonprofit organization called the Danan Projects, which we'll hear more about. It really helps help ex-offenders start a new life. So it's perfect for today's question is modern-day magi. How are you delivering your gifts? So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a modern-day magi, my brother in Christ, J.J. Pruitt. J.J.?
Eric, how are you, man?
I'm doing wonderful this morning, you know, considering my adventure yesterday in the Slick Rose. I'm blessed to be here. A little sore, but
I'm blessed that you're here too, man. I heard the story, and thank God that everything is well, man. I'm sorry to hear that, but you're right. He is not through with you yet. So
he's not through with me yet, no doubt. Well, I appreciate you joining us. You know, I want to jump right in, and you know, it's been a long time since we reconnected. We always kind of miss each other at the reunions and so forth. But just want to kick off this question with all of our guests on the show. You know, what is that one word that describes you, J.J.?
Progress.
Progress, okay.
Yes, I am forever trying to I'm still a work in progress, and so I'm one of the persons that I'm always evaluating myself and trying to see, well, what can I do better? And if you ask my wife and my daughter, then they'll tell you that I have a lot to progress on. But
I understand. I'm in the same boat. I definitely understand that, you know. And
but yeah.
So progress is the word. I can mm-hmm. see that in you, because always striving, because we get up each and every day, even if in sports or in faith, you're always trying to find a way to move forward and get better. Always looking at that person in the mirror, right?
Right, all the time. You know, there are a lot of things that I think a lot of times today, you know, when I talk to young kids, when I talk to some adults, you know, it seems like everybody is just getting into this little mold, and they just kind of stay there. They don't really step outside of the boundaries. And, you know, if you think about all of the things growing up, you know, even if you go back to the time of Christ, you know, there were amazing things happening in the scriptures that people talked about for years. You know, I mean, everybody, there was no TV, there was no internet back then. And so when there's a new star that came out in the heavens, you know, people noticed that. And, you know,
right. It's
those kind of things nowadays where sometimes we're so bogged down with everything that's going on, we don't take the time to look at the little things. And so to me, my progress is just stopping sometimes and taking a look at the little things. So hopefully everybody will take a look at little things from now on, because sometimes those are the most important things.
Yeah, absolutely. The little things we tend to take for granted, and I hear you. We just kicked off this series about the difference maker of our first series, or it was about this me now culture, where it really gets us idle, focusing on ourselves rather than what the Lord asks and calls us to do. So that I definitely hear you. We have to understand, you know, that we're blessed to be able to hear, see, talk, walk, even just be one to another in so many different ways, and even to be here, we're definitely blessed to continue to serve Him. You know, we reflect on the little things. You know, you and I share a lot of memories as fellow teammates at Jacksonville State mm-hmm. University, Gamecock football team, national champs, conference champs. You know, a product of Bill Burgess, the Burgess boy, right? And we had some, a lot of great memories, success and failures. You know, in your mind, what is one of those little things that you talked about? What's most memorable moment for you? Hopefully I can pinpoint it. I'm going to have one in my head and see if it's the same one that you share with.
Well, it probably won't be. I mean, you know, it's, you know, one of the most memorable things that I have is really just an encompass of a lot of different things. To me, the most memorable thing is just the camaraderie between all of the guys, you know, whether It was you guys coming in a year or two later. It was just developing those relationships with each individual player all those years. I mean, we have literally all of us, all of the Burgess boys have been remained friends all of these years. And to me, you know, that's something that you can never take back. You know, the camaraderie between the guys, developing new friends, and I'm talking about true friends. These are friends that, you know, we still talk. When we all get together, as you know, it's like, man, it's like we just picked up from the 1990s, you know. It's like we never left. It's like we're never separated. We were always together. To me, one of the most memorable moments is just the camaraderie in the whole throughout the years. I don't really think there's really one memory that I can think of that that just is most memorable to me. It's just all of the relationships with all of the guys that I remember the most.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely vital that we continue to be brothers, and not only just in football, but in life and in spirit, and it's amazing. But that your answer says a lot about you. You didn't make that question about you. And I just knew you were going to say when we were playing Division One Northeast Louisiana, and when you ran the winning touchdown last year, right? I just knew you were going to say that. Well, if you remember, in overtime, they invited us in for homecoming, and then beating them. And of course, a lot of guys for the team went to the pros and so forth. But that says a lot about you. Then pinpoint that moment about you. It is about camaraderie.
Well, as you know, I mean, we scored the winning touchdown. It wasn't me. It was, you know, a lot of things that happened. There was a lot of things that happened that drive that made it possible. So, you know, God used me as the instrument to get across, but there was a lot of things. It was a lot of instruments that were used. It was a whole band. It wasn't just one instrument. It was a lot of band going across.
Absolutely, absolutely, and definitely appreciate that. You know, as I shared, this past month after we celebrated JFK, we kicked off this series about the difference makers, and I always have to pose this question to you as well, just to really kind of log in back of my mind. Can one person still make the difference in your mind?
Oh gosh, definitely, definitely. I mean, every day you see one person making a difference. You know, I'll tell you a quick story about a guy, you know, a coworker of mine. He's recently divorced, and, you know, it's been recent, and, you know, he's been having a tough time. But throughout that time, he has found faith, something that he had never found before. You know, he goes to church on a regular basis. And, you know, one day he was just kind of walking, you know, aimlessly through downtown and, you know, didn't know why he needed to be there. He was actually thinking about going to visit someone in the hospital, but he was walking down a certain street that he normally doesn't walk. And there was one guy that was sitting there. He could tell the guy was homeless. And he just had this feeling of, man, I've got to talk to this guy. And, you know, he didn't have a plan of talking to him, but when he walked by, he said the spirit was so strong for him to talk to him. So he just sat down and talked with the guy. After he talked with the guy, he found out this guy and he had a lot in common. You know, they both like fixing things. You know, they were both from a town in Mississippi. You know, all of these different things. And you know, he looked at the guy and said, you know, this could have been me. You know, this is a guy that's got the same desires and everything as me, but his took a different path. But look where I am. So he ended up giving the guy some money, and they have become friends. Now, you may think that that's a simple little story, but one guy, made a difference in this other guy's life. Not just for that moment, but this guy is touched for a very, very long time. And not to be selfish here, Eric, you know, there was one time I was actually walking through a park in Birmingham, and of course there was a homeless gentleman there sitting there. He looked dazed, and you know, I kept walking by, and eventually I just said, "Hey, how you doing, sir?" And he looked up and he said, "Hello." And I a few more times, but I one time I said he stopped me and said, "Sir, excuse me." He said, "I just wanted you to know that I was going to go and kill myself today because you know, people come here, you know, they don't recognize me. They don't notice me." He says, "But you spoke to me." He says, "I was literally going to go and jump off a bridge in front of a car." He said, "But because you spoke to me, It lets me know that I am relevant still. And I gave him my phone number, and we had spoken with each other for a year. Unfortunately, I've lost contact with him, but was able to help him out a number of times throughout that year before we lost contact. So to me, I think one person can definitely make a difference. And again, those are just simple stories, but if you think about it, those were simple actions that turned out to be a lot of things that helped out for a long period of time. So I definitely think one person can change. And we don't want to get into the political or anything else. This is just those kind of stories that you can definitely help somebody out with just a little bit of pushing from yourself. You know,
absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
It is about starting. You started the conversation, your thoughts about faith. And it is in the sense of what we're talking about, the Magi. It's following the star. Lord will guide you to people if you just hear and obey. And those stories don't surprise me. I hear them all the time and even experience a few myself, probably not to the magnitude of taking themselves live, but really just helping and serving each other. And it's to the point, you know, it is about giving him the glory in everything we do and impacting this generation. As I tell you, those individuals will pay it forward as we continue to go in life. So, you know, one of the last questions for our break, though, you know, how important is your faith in what you do?
Well, I would like to say it's the cornerstone, but it's the entire foundation of what I do. You know, I can tell you this. There are people who go through and do things for people and they can not have a religious, you know, or a faith-filled cause to do it. But in the back of their minds, it is a faith-filled cause because God and Christ, they invented the word love. And, you know, they encompass it, they embody it. And so my thing is faith, I can't live without faith. I don't think anybody can live without faith, although there are people who do it. In the back of their minds, even though there are people, and I know people who are atheists, people who say, well, I do stuff because I want to. Well, that's an innate ability that given from God, even though they don't believe in him, that's an innate ability given from God that they are to do those things. And faith without love, love without faith, I mean, they're all the same thing because you have to be able to have faith in order to love. You have to love and you know, to love in order to have faith. So faith is the foundation everything that you do, not only for yourself but for others. So it is the foundation of it.
Yeah, amen. Well, thanks for sharing that. You know, we probably could stop the show right there because that is so true, and it really sums up a lot what we're going to talk about in the next few segments. So after the break, we'll continue our talk with our modern-day Magi and continue to answer the questions, how are you delivering your gifts? And stay with us. You can't afford to miss this. If you have any questions, feel free to call us or comment. Call us at 310-861-2331. You're listening On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Little baby, you will kiss. is the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
And I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for staying with us. Our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are by getting them on cue with God's will and his purpose. We're addressing the question of the day, modern-day magi. How are you delivering your gifts? We have our special guest, Mr. J.J. Pruitt, here to continue our dialogue. J.J., we talked about, you know, some of our experiences in the last segment and the foundation of what drives you, faith and love, and all the work that you do. When we asked, who's the biggest influence on you when it comes to faith, and how help you build that foundation?
Well, first and foremost, you know, is Christ. You know, I mean, when you sit there and look through and read through all of the, you sit there and read through all of the scriptures, then you know who can't be influenced by him. But and you know, growing up, my mother was a big influence. You know, I come from one of those families like you, Eric. Where, you know, on Sunday, you didn't even think about not going to church. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, it doesn't matter what time you get in or whatever's going on. If you're sick, well, hey, we'll just take a bag with us, but you're going to church. So that influence or that dedication from my mom, you know, made sure that you know, that I would be influenced as well. So Christ and my mom were the two people that influenced me the most as far as my faith goes.
Yes. Thank you, and I do understand getting up. There's no doubt. If you just got in an hour before, even though that was never the case, you were going to church, yeah. Right?
Definitely.
Coming home from college,
you
right?
You better go to church.
Let's go to church here, right? And so, you know, when thinking of your mother, and I appreciate you for sharing, being able to share this with us today, it reminds me of the word that comes to mind when I think of you, a giver. And it really brings up the question of the day of how you're delivering your gifts. If you don't mind, I know your mothers have gone home to heaven at this point, and I wanted you to share how you delivered a gift to your mother after college.
Well, you know, she could have been gone way sooner than she actually did. When we literally graduated from college, I had just gotten a job in Midland, Texas, as of my first TV job. And I noticed that my mother was very pale-looking. You know, she was kind of, you know, weak, didn't have as much energy as she did. And come to find out, she had some kidney problems. Her kidneys, both of them had dropped, you know, to about 10% usage, and I was able to give her one of my kidneys, and you know, it was kind of funny. when I gave her the kidney, you know, I was in the hospital and I developed a fever after I had given her the kidney. And it was funny to look up and wake up and see your mother coming to visit you after she had been suffering, you know, from kidney failure. She had so much energy after the kidney transplant. She literally came to visit me in the hospital. And, you know, that's the kind of mother my mother was. She was more concerned about me than she was herself, even though we both had surgery the same day, a few hours apart from each other. But as soon as she had gotten that kidney, she was able to come and visit me, and what a sight that was, you know, when you're battling a fever and you thought you were going to be able to go home in a couple of days, you ended up having to stay for a little while. And my mom, I would do it again. I wouldn't just do it for my mom. I'd do it for anybody. Ironically enough, right now, my younger brother, Quarren, you know, not my youngest brother, but my younger brother, Quarren, is actually going through renal failure right now. You know, he and my mother both had diabetes. And, you know, and of course, one of the side effects of taking the insulin and everything else is kidney failure. And so right now, my brother is actually going through the same thing that my mother went through some 16 years ago. It was truly a gift to be able to do that. I wish that I could be the gift for my brother and give him one, but, you know, unfortunately, we have to live with one kid.
Right, absolutely.
It was a great honor to give to my mom.
You know, I hope that everyone's listening will be able to would do the same, but it really a testament of what she taught you about. So essentially, you gave it back to her, and it shouldn't be a surprise to her that you ultimately would do such a thing. And I can tell you probably didn't think twice, and you wouldn't think twice to share it to do it all over again. And,
well, I'll tell you this: when she. She didn't even want me to do it. And I just told her, I said, Mom, listen, you know, you're not looking right. I'm going to go get tested. You know, I told her that I'm going to get tested. And I knew in my heart, I knew in my spirit that I was going to be a match for her, because even though I'm from the same bloodline, you know, we may not have the same blood type. You know, I could have had my father's blood type, and we may not have been a match, but I went and got tested. We were a perfect match, and the process was able to go fairly quickly. But I didn't give it a second thought, Eric. Like you said, it was amazing to be able to give her that gift, the gift of life. She gave me the gift of life, and I was able to give her a second life for about 14 more years before she initially passed.
14 more years. You got a chance to see grandkids. You got a chance to see a lot of different things in that period, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's an amazing woman. I'm telling you, she's truly missed. My wife all the time tells me, she says, you know, your mother was just the sweetest thing. I mean, my wife misses her just as much as I do. I mean, she was an amazing woman.
Awesome. You know, I met her a few times, but I know they spent a lot of time, but you can tell from what she created in you that she definitely was the sweetest, no doubt.
She probably could have done a little more, because we probably gave her more fits than she wanted us to.
I know. We understand now, right?
Yeah.
So you know, now fast forward a little bit, and you know, tell the audience, you know, these are, although there's certain tragedies that happen in life, but you know, faith will pull you through it. And you know, you had an experience, tragedy in 1999, losing your brother. Danan, you know, how did you manage a delivering of gifts of forgiveness during that period of time? Can you kind of share what happened with him and then how the process you went through in order to forgive? And then we'll talk about after you answer, you know, what resulted of that experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was working at my current job at Fox 6 in Birmingham, and at the time, you know, I worked the morning shift from 5 to 2. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I come home, you know, when I was single, of course, I'd take a nap, you know, because waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning can do that. I got a phone call, excuse me, that my brother I got a phone call from my cousin that my brother had been shot. And my first question was to her, well, I said, is he alive? She says, just get down here immediately. Well, I was about 15 minutes away, and when I got to the site, I saw, you know, a sheet and someone laying on the ground. And, of course, I immediately went straight to it, went under the police line, and the police stopped me. And I said, yeah, I was told that my brother was shot. I just wanted to know, is that him? And, you know, the police officer was just, you know, put his head down and wouldn't tell me. And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, is that him? And he eventually said, yes, sir, that is. Come to find out, the person who had shot my brother was a high school teammate of mine in football. I was the fullback. He was the running back. You know, I mean, I blocked for him all the time, you know, every play. We won two state high school championships, and, you know, he was an integral part, just like I was, you know, for us to win. You know, of course, the shock of finding out that it was your high school friend that did it was amazing. I mean, of course, the first thing you do is you have anger. And, you know, and I had anger for years because, you know, my youngest brother, you know, the youngest one at 18 at the time, was his life was taken over just a disagreement, an argument. And number two, you start going and living your life, and when you get your family and everything, you start dealing with the anger. So I started doing that. And eventually, 10 years later, and I got to tell you, Eric, it took about 10 years. Yeah. I was reading the scriptures, and I came across, and I don't know the scripture, but it said, you know, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And that scripture just really stuck out to me, as you can tell why, because I was not about to forgive what had happened. But for some reason, that day it changed me. I was able to forgive. In fact, I reached out on Facebook to the guy, my friend who had shot my brother Bannon, and we were able to talk to each other. We talked for, you know, about a brief 20 or 30 minutes, but my conversation to him was, I said, hey, man, nobody else in this world forgives you. I want you to know that I forgive you. And, Eric, I wish that you could, I wish I could describe the sigh, the amount of pressure that came off of that sigh when I told him that I forgave him. It was like, you know, and it was long and it was hard, and I think a big weight had come off of his shoulders after I told him.
Yeah,
I released him, and you know, and I really meant it, Eric, and I really told him that I forgive him. And you know, we eventually said that we were going to talk, and he was going to tell me, you know, what really happened. And from his perspective, and we haven't had a chance to do that, but you know, it was amazing. He was able to the guy who killed my brother, and you know, a foundation that we started in his honor. He was able to donate some items to the foundation. So, being able to forgive is a very powerful thing. I'm not saying that me forgiving him changed his life, but I can tell you this, I know that a huge weight came off of his shoulders when I did tell him that I forgave him.
And off yours too, right?
Off of mine too, especially off of mine, because I didn't want to go around holding that. And it was like you said, it was a big weight off of both of our shoulders. You know, the memory of my brother will always be there, you know, but to have that less weight, you know, it feels pretty good.
Right. So we talked about your first gift. I mean, there's probably others that you're giving your kidney, and now the second one for forgiveness. As a result of this family tragedy, your wife, Carrie, and yourself delivered another gift, in a sense, a second chance to, as you gave your high school teammate, to people just, you know, that took your brother's life through the Danon Project. We'll start the conversation. Can you tell a little bit about the Danon Project and what it's all about?
Yeah, it is. We are a nonprofit institution that provides reentry services to those people who have been incarcerated. We do a nonviolent approach. We unfortunately don't work with violent offenders. We work with nonviolent offenders. And what we do is we provide all of reentry services, counseling, housing, clothes, job training, job placement, all of those things that a person coming out of prison needs because of what we have discovered. And this is in your hometown, Eric. This is in my hometown, in any hometown, not only in America but in the world. We have discovered that if you give someone who has just been released from prison the opportunity to help themselves, then they will do it. They really don't want to sit back and ask people to help them. They just want the opportunity to be help themselves. And a lot of times what we discovered was, you know, many people who get out of prison, they didn't have a family anymore because what they did to go in prison, their family has shunned them. And the only thing they have in the entire world are the clothes on their back and the $15 that the state gives them when they released. And to me, that's a tragedy in itself, you know, to only give someone $15 after they've spent years in prison and give them a bus ticket wherever they want to go. But one thing I have discovered, Eric, out of all of this is that I've discovered compassion for someone who has been in prison. To me now, I look at it as you did something wrong, you've paid your dues, you've done your time. Now it's time for us to give you the opportunity again. So that's what the project provides. We provide a second life for many of these people, whether it's youth who have parents who were incarcerated or they have gotten in trouble, all the way up. I think our oldest participant now is in his 60s who had just been released from prison. So our gift right now is to give the gift of love and to give them the chance for second life.
That's so powerful. So after the break, we want to go a little bit more detail about some specific programs that you have and just let the audience know all about the name of the project intently, because there may be some people out there who are listening who have family members or friends just like those you talked about who need a little help. So after the break, we'll continue our talk on modern-day magi, how are you delivering your gifts. So stay with us. You can't afford to miss this. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for staying with us. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are by getting us on cue of what God's will and his purpose. We're addressing the question of the day with our modern-day magi. It's J.J. Pruitt. Now, how are you delivering your gifts? So J.J., before the break, we mm-hmm. talked about your project, the Danem Project, where you help non-violent offenders really re-enter society and get an opportunity to really help themselves. So mm-hmm. Can you take one of your specific programs or curriculum and kind of give the audience an idea of what exactly, how it works, and even some of the results of it?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. You know, it's a great question. We work with the Department of Labor. We have a grant, and our job is to find jobs for them. But it starts way earlier than that. We try to get them through the Department of Pardons and Paroles. We try to get them 6 months before they get out of prison. We work with the states, and unfortunately right now we're only in the state of Alabama, but there are programs in other states, in Texas and anywhere else that they like. But we work with the state, and we try to go in 6 months early. We ask them, what is it that you want to do when you get out? Some of them, well, you know, I have a little bit of welding background, so I'd like to get back into welding. Well, we provide a hands-on curriculum. We basically tailor make a program for that individual, you know, to make sure that they can go back into welding. Some may say, well, you know, I don't have any skills. You know, I went in when I was 17 years old. Well, I'm 21 now. Well, we just ask them, what is it you think you'd like to do? And then we try to tailor a program specifically for them. We right now have a school. We're about to start a school called the Danem Institute, where we can provide and teach certain subjects. A couple of the four subjects that we have is certified nursing assistants. Well, if they, through a 6 or 7 week course, they can actually work in hospitals or work in nursing homes. They can actually be a certified nursing assistant to a nurse. We have a phlebotomy program where those are the ones that work inside of the labs. They take blood. Many times, Eric, if you go to the hospital and have to give a blood sample, then that's the phlebotomist. And it's if you're where we are in the state of Alabama, in Birmingham, a lot of times, you know, that could be somebody from our program who's actually doing that. We also have a construction background that we're doing, and then of course they get a chance to have a little certified construction degree. And not only is it a construction degree, but it's a LEED certified degree. And for those who don't know what LEED certified is, that's the new green standard, where you know they're trying to find the best quality for the home, you know, where you're not using so much water and so much supplies. It's the new it's cool to be green nowadays, Eric, as you know. So we have that, and of course we just have a normal program where we just kind of talk with and kind of try to decide whatever it is. Many guys want to be truck drivers. We have a school that we work with there. A lot of times, you know, of course, when you have a federal charge, Eric, you know, there are some places that you just can't work. And, you know, we try to provide counseling for the people who come out, are participants, you know, that there are some places that they just can't work. Of course, you can't work for the government once you have a federal charge. There are a few places that they can't work, but we always try to place them somewhere to where they can make not just minimum wage, but they can make a living to where they can pay their fines, or they can provide for their families, and a whole lot of other things. And one of the programs that I'm most proud of, and I don't know how much time I have, but you know, we have a youth component where we work with youth from age 16 to 22. These are the youth that either they're young mothers or young fathers, and they didn't graduate from high school. So we have a GED program where we give them their GED first, and then they get into one of those schools that we have. If they're not interested in that, we find a school for them. So we have been trying to transform the city of Birmingham and trying to stop the recidivism that rate of going into prison and getting out and then going right back. We've tried to stop that, and we've had some pretty good success at it.
Right. Breaking cycles at the end of the day. So you're actually, what you and your wife are doing, and as well as your staff and those around you, are at the fabric of society, are really making an impact, and that's why it's so important for, I think, the world to understand and know what you and your wife are doing. You know, but during that process, though, you meet all sorts of people, there's no doubt, with varying backgrounds, and you really got to be able to cue them up, in this effect, if I can use that shamelessly, on at a common ground, right, to understand in order to get them to talk. But, you know, as we go through this, though, what was that aha moment for you and the things that surprised you that really unlocked the ability to connect and get them to trust you and follow you?
Yeah. Well, one of the main things is, you know, when you sit down and talk with someone, first and foremost, you find out what their thinking was when they did what they did. And there's a number of aha moments, but the one, you know, I'll give you a couple of them. One of them was, sometimes you'll ask them, well, why did you do this? And they go, man, listen, you know, my mother and father are junkies. They're never there. We had no power in our house. It was cold. I was hungry. And I just went out and just tried to get some food. And they end up spending a couple of years in prison because they were hungry. Wow. But the one thing that really stuck out to me, Eric, was, you know, I'd sit back and talk to these guys and young ladies. And for the guys especially, these guys, when I was told one time that I've never been told that I love you by my folks, by my parents, by anybody in my family. I've never gotten a hug from my mom and my dad. You know, it literally, you know, teared me up because as the mother that I had, I mean, there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't get a hug and been told that I wasn't loved. So for us, when they come in our office, and our ladies are wonderful. We have a majority staff of ladies, but, you know, but our ladies are so wonderful. Vanessa Brown, our program director, they call her mama. You know, Vanessa has no kids of her own, but she has thousands of kids because everybody that comes through has to talk to Vanessa, and Vanessa has such a loving spirit. She shows them so much love, something that they've never been shown before, and they love Vanessa. And for them, this is the first time they're hearing, hey, I love you. Come here, give me a hug. And it's a new thing for them, and it's a thing that they love once they discover it, but it's a new thing. And Eric, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine at the age of 50 getting hugs and being told you love them for the first time. I just can't imagine that. Can you?
I cannot do that. I can't imagine it either. When you share that, it really struck me and understand maybe sometimes we may be in a protective bubble, and sometimes you mentioned it earlier, where there's so much going on, you really just want to focus on yourself and not be idle. These things are happening, and this not only just impact you know, their lives, but impact others, because you never know who you may save if these programs are not in place for those offenders that may go back or stealing or killing, whatever that is, things could go wrong. I just can't imagine not telling someone that love them or even being told that. It's amazing to know and see those things are going on. That's why your work is so important. You know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the things that we always do, every second Monday of the month, we have a new class that comes in with the youth. And I always give a talk and give the story of my brother, you know, and everything. And I always tell them, I said, listen, guys, I said, I don't know you yet. I said, but I want you to know that I love each and every one of you. And from this very start, you know, we set the precedent that this is a place of love. And we want you to know that we love you, and we're going to get you by the end of this time. You're going to start telling us that you love us too. You know, so.
Wow, how powerful! So that's really how you fix it. Is you fix it with love, with faith. You know, but doing this, you know, you're probably not short of your challenges. You know, what is the biggest challenge that you and your wife and your foundation face? I know the money. First one is you got to make sure you raise funds. But what are those things that that challenge you and how you deal with those?
Well, as you know, of course, yeah, you know, we're always looking for funds. But I'm happy to say, Eric, that the Dannon Project is a debt-free organization. You know, my wife, who has an accounting background, one of the things she cannot stand to do is be in debt to anybody. So she worked very tirelessly, and we basically funded this program ourselves for the first couple of years. You know, I think I was telling you one time, you know, we when we first started applying for grants, and this was 13 years ago, the first grant we got was a $500 grant from Wachovia, which is now Wells Fargo. And, you know, I tell you, you should have seen the dancing around in our bedroom when we got that $500. We were just like, oh, man, we're rich. You know how many people this can help? $500.
Right.
And, you know, and then we start grants. The next grant we got was for $1,000. And, oh, you should have seen the dance then. Well, I'll tell you, it was unbelievable. And we just said the same thing. We're rich. This is going to help so many other people. And then it starts getting up to, you know, I'll never forget the $10,000 grant. And, you know, we were able to hire someone part-time at that point to help at that time. And so it is the challenge is always having money come in because, you know, I don't get a dime from this, Eric. This is just a labor of love for us. And, you know, the money that we receive goes directly to the services. And we now have a staff of 33. So, you know, we have grants that pay for the salaries and everything. But, you know, we always need funds to help with unrestricted funds so that we can help people come in. You know, we have a lot of people who we definitely have a lot of people who come in whose parents – I'll give you an example. We had a young girl who – was a very beautiful young girl. Her mother and sister were jealous of her, and we have to sometimes take people out in the middle of the night and put them in emergency housing because they'd had some situations and everything. And so we try to have funds for that. So those are some of the challenges that we have. But you know, the major challenge is just letting the city know that we're here, that we're ready to do something to change city in a positive way, and just getting everybody on board that we're not trying to push anybody out or anything. We're just trying to help. The challenge is always trying to get people and to raise funds. I was telling you, it's easy to raise money for a child, easy to raise money for a needy child. It is very difficult sometimes to raise money for an ex-convict, you know, so
yeah.
So that's always a challenge.
And between that decision is, right, you know, to the point of looking at them a little bit differently and forgiveness, right? It always starts with love.
Yeah.
You know,
along the way,
and there's so many different testimonies and successes. Mm-hmm. How many people have you served? And then correlate that with how many people, if you track this information, who've gone through your program and went back to prison?
Well, throughout our 30 we have helped over 6,000 participants, and to this date, only 50 have gone back to prison.
Wow.
That is, you know, if you do the math, that is, you know, less than 1%.
Wow. It is absolutely less than 1%. I was talking to one of our Burgess brothers, Juan Bailey, who's one of the counselors at a prison there in North Alabama. And he didn't know that the Dannon Project was your program. He said it's an excellent, excellent program.
Yeah.
Use it all the time. And so expect a call from him sometime soon, right?
Yep.
And,
definitely.
But ultimately, you know, how do people help you outside of just the funds? Is there anything? Is it volunteering?
Mm-hmm.
And even where do they find you and your wife and in order to kind of show support?
Well, yeah, we definitely have volunteer opportunities. We have a mentor program, and we've connected with a couple of churches over here in the city of Birmingham who are doing an excellent job. But we could always use people to hear these people's stories and to help them, not monetarily, but just to help them with talking and counseling. Just our own life stories sometimes can help be a big difference for these guys. And you know, one of the other ways is to just, if you know someone, and again, unfortunately right now it's only in Jefferson and Calhoun County in Birmingham right now, but we're growing. We have a plan to do this. By the way, Eric, I just wanted to let you know, and this is not my work. For the last 3 years, by the Department of Labor, we are the number one reentry program in the country because of the work that those ladies do down there. And one of the ways that we can definitely get help is just if you know somebody who is coming to Birmingham or somebody in the Birmingham area who needs our services, then, DannonProject.org, the Dannon Project, D-A-N-N-O-N, project.org.
Okay.
Our phone number is 205-202-422.
Okay, can you say that one more time? The website,
yeah,
and the
DannonProject.org, D-A-N-N-O-N, project.org. And the phone number is 205-202-4072.
Great, great. So if you have... We want to support the Dannon Project, JJ and Carrie's efforts in order to impact this society, especially from those reentry from prison, please contact him. And as well as any type of, if you have a family member or a friend who probably needs those services or even probably about to be released from prison, please contact them. And, you know, JJ, next for you, you have aspirations of moving beyond Birmingham. So I'm just counting up the numbers in Jefferson County. 6,000 people times the 67 counties, I think, if I remember correctly, my Alabama history, and times that 6,000, then take that times 40 or 50 states. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. It is very powerful. And there are reentry programs pretty much in every major city throughout the country. So if you're not in the Birmingham area, if you're anywhere across the country, then just do a Google search. I would always look at the ratings of the place because, unfortunately, Eric, as you know, in life and with any business, there are some workers who give it their all, and there are some who just go there for a paycheck. And
right.
So it's best to find out the person, the program that's going to serve your family member or you or whoever the best way possible. And that's the one, not the one that gives you money. It's the one that gives you the most love, because in this industry, love, I'm telling you, is the most important thing. People ask us, we have the federal government has taken our model, and they're trying to my wife has to write a number of things. She gives classes on conference calls throughout the country about what's working for us. And some people have come in and they have taken our model and they have stolen it and taken it other places, which is fine. And I told my wife, she's much better than me. I'm telling her, I can't believe they're doing this. How dare they do this? And my wife goes, well, just let them. If it's helping someone, then let them do it. Because, again, this is a mission for us. This is not a money-making thing. It's a mission. And if somebody wants to take our model and they want to help someone, then let them do it. But she says the only way that's going to work, she says they can take and do our program the way it is, but only way that model is going to work is they have to show love. It's not about money. If they're doing this for money, it's not going to work. It has to be about the love for the people, and it's the most important thing.
Yeah, it does. It starts, love takes you. It is the equalizer in online, and I think that's what the basis of our ministry is all about, starting with love, with common ground. You can talk to anybody, no matter what the background is. And we're going, even as we think about, we started the show about the camaraderie amongst our fellow teammates. It is about love. We loved each other. And I think that's one thing that Burgess taught us, that, we had each other's back, and we knew that they had ours. And it was about the man beside you. Because there's been plenty of times I was at the bottom of the pile, I knew everybody was coming to get me out, right? And it starts with that. And even, when it comes to, you sharing your gifts, you're delivering your gifts to your mother, to your friend who took the life of your brother, to your foundation and ministry, how you delivering that is where we need to go. If you're just talking or sharing something with someone, just a conversation, starting with love, and you don't know, JJ, nothing about it, you don't have to tell everybody that you love them, because they'll know once they meet
right.
you. It comes from the Spirit. And so that is so powerful for us to understand and use for God's glory and impact in this generation where we see these gaps.
Mm-hmm. And, Eric, you know for a fact, I mean, we didn't walk around the football complex telling each other that we loved them. We loved each other. But it was an unspoken rule, as you said. You know, it was like, you know, everybody knew that. If anything happened, you know, if you mess with one, you got to mess with all of us, you know, and that's the rule that you know, it was an unspoken rule that we all loved each other.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, before I let you go, is there something, you know, as the consultant in me, that I should have asked and I didn't, or is there something that the audience needs to know that I didn't necessarily touch on about the Danon Project, or just any way you serve in the Birmingham area?
Well, there is one thing. I just wanted to let everybody know how proud I am of, you know, many of you, I'm sure Eric has told a lot of stories, but, you know, just the way you carried yourself at Jacksonville State, you know, what you've become, I think everybody who knows you, who knew you back then, knew that this is where you were going to be. And I just want to thank you for giving of yourself every Saturday to help people, and every day to help people and to be a modern-day Magi. I really appreciate you, and I'm proud of you. And I want to tell you that in front of everybody, you know, because you are – what you're doing is – I mean, it's far greater than what we're doing. I'll tell you, you know, to be able to help somebody every day to reach their potential through the help of Christ and with Christ's teachings that you do. I mean, it's invaluable what you're doing, and you know, I really just wanted to let you know that I'm proud of you, and just keep doing what you're doing, man.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't expect that, but I definitely appreciate it. You know, you got to give it to him. And, you know, during all those times, you take me back where, you know, I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I was running at the end of the day, and I talk about that all the time. But, you know, Lord mm-hmm. will bring you through. You just got to have faith and connect with him. And, JJ, I really appreciate that element, that expression you just shared with the audience. It's, I'm getting lost for words at this point, because you kind of moved me a little bit here.
Everybody knows.
But thank you for that. Thank you for spending the time this Saturday morning from your family during Christmas time. Pass my regards to your family, and you know, keep up the great work. We'll stay connected. And there's I have some ideas already I want to kind of throw at you and even connect you with a few people, because the work you're doing is important. It's really giving gifts of love, giving the gift of second chance, giving the gift of just really releasing people from these things that are in society that binds us, and it's so important to get unbounded. And really change things in order the way that they'll be pleasing God's sight.
Well, I just want to thank you again, and I'm looking forward to all the ideas, because especially from a very professional like you, I'm looking forward to all the ideas that you got for us, and we'll definitely use
them. I appreciate it. Well, thanks for joining. Ladies and gentlemen, that's J.J. Pruitt.
Right. And Merry Christmas to you and the family. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you, and be safe, and we'll talk very soon. And thanks
all right,
for joining.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
Thank you. So after the break, we'll continue. We'll can close out about our questions about modern day Magi, are how are you delivering your gifts? So stay with us. If you have questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 310-861-2331. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for staying with us. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are, getting us on cue with God's will and His purpose. You know, we've been addressing the question of the day, modern-day magi. How are you delivering your gifts? I hope you were blessed as much as I was to have JJ. He was definitely a delight, wasn't he? The work that he's doing is important to not only to his foundation, but society and to the Lord's kingdom. You know, he is definitely leading where he is and delivering his gifts back to God by sharing them. He is a modern-day magi. You know, as I shared with you before, my life got much simpler when I realized something, that my life is not about me. In your life, it's not about you. It's about two things, giving God the glory, impacting this generation. So this life is not about you and me, neither are our gifts. They were not yours to keep, but to share with this generation so God can be glorified. So the question of the day, modern-day magi, how are you delivering your gifts? So let's try to answer that. Let's start with the three kings, the three magi. They did four things. Let's examine them quickly. First, they just decided to journey. They came as they were. It was one thing to have a desire to serve and seek, but it's another thing to taking the steps and fulfilling that purpose. As Q Leadership Curriculum teaches, the Lord is asking us to come as you are, start where you are, and use what you have, the gifts that He's granted you. As a great transformation leader shared, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And the second piece is following the star. Have faith. Follow the star. Follow the signs no matter where it leads. If we knew where the star was taking you, would that be faith? The third thing that the three magi had, they did. They fell down to their knees before the king and worshiped him, not the world, not self, not some doctrine or four walls of a church. Of course, the church walls are sacred. But God is bigger than the church. Kneel and give him the glory. And lastly, the Magi. They delivered a gift fitting for God, fitting for the king. And it's not about the gift itself, but rather how you give it. And how you give it is by love, as JJ and articulated in during his time with us. Love is the greatest commandment that Lord Jesus left us. For as in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just like today's guest, JJ shared, love someone before judging is very powerful. And to try to demonstrate that same love that the Lord has for us by giving up himself is powerful. So starting with love, love is the universal truth that binds us all. It is the universal truth that we all can agree on regardless of our backgrounds, religious, ethnic, country, otherwise. It is what I use Dr. King a lot because he's a transformation leader that we all can relate to and agree on. It is what Dr. King wanted to be known as. And as he said, I don't want to be known as the Nobel Peace Prize winner, but he wanted to be known as someone who tried to love somebody. And so love, and he knew that love was the only means in which we were able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, were able to join in hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Love frees. Love releases. Love releases so that you can forgive. You know, love is thinking about from the Catholic Church perspective, been in the news the last few weeks. Love is what Pope Francis, the leader of the Catholic Church, has been articulated related to the topic of the day when it comes to homosexuality. It has been, he's named, of course, the person of the year by Time magazine. I don't read Time, but my thoughts on what the Pope was reminding us that we are all God's children. In order to reach them, as well as others who commit certain acts against what the faithful consider the gospel truth, we have to start with love for our ministry, It is in the C and Q. It's common ground. Of course, we have to share the truth, but I start the show with what Ephesians says in 4:15. Rather speaking the truth than love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We have to speak the truth in love. Once you deliver these gifts in love, be ready, because you may not get the reaction that the world of sharing, like what happened to Mr. Phil Robinson, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty program, which I love. Duck Dynasty reminds you, I'm a country boy at heart, love hunting fish and love family. The political correctness of the day seems to rule the modern day at times. If you're a believer who loves God, if you love your family, and you love to speak openly about faith like Mr. Robinson, he did not single out just homosexuality behavior, but he listed half a dozen things, from including adultery, greed, drunkenness, idolatry. You know, spreading the truth is tough at times. Following Christ is tough, but He will deliver you just as He's delivered Mr. Robinson from the 60s, as He say. So that Robinson family is delivering the world a gift, and how they're doing it is through faith. It's through family, and it's through that ultimate secret sauce, love. This journey with Christ may seem uncertain, but following His star may seem uncertain, but uncertainty requires faith. Yes, we deliver a message that is important if we gather God's people and lead them to Him. Start with love. Allow people to come as they are. The Lord's word won't go void. Just start with love. But our role is really just to gather God's gifts in Christ's name. Be ready for we know not the hour of the day that He comes back. As my wife shared this week, the week that Beyonce dropped her another album without anyone knowing. The world didn't expect it. The world wasn't ready. So when Christ drops His album on His return, no one will know either. He'd be like a thief in the night. So will the world be ready? Will you be ready? Will we be caught up in worldly things? Will we be caught up in political correctness? Will we be caught up in yourself? Or will you be giving your gifts to this generation? And delivering these gifts for God and kingdom, you got to do it through love. A gift fitting God is from the heart. So the question of the day is, how are you delivering your gifts? Be like our modern-day magi. Be what Christ asks us to do. Deliver your gifts with love by, one, protecting your heart from being hardened by what's going on in society, protecting your heart from being unforgiving to what people do to you, protecting your heart from being corrupted by all the things that this world, society, somewhat gives, and it changes like the seasons. So I challenge all of us to leave where you are by delivering the gifts that God's people get people on cue. Love is the common ground that we can get on cue with God's will, that we can get on cue with His calling. We get others on cue with that purpose and impact this generation. So thanks for joining us this morning. I give honor and all honor and praise to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who is celebrating this season of His birth. Thanks for those who tune in. My special guest, J.J. Pruitt, and his work. Bless him. Pray for him and his family, all those involved in his ministry. My producer, my assistant, Kennedy Powell, who's keeping me in order here, my better half, my best friend, my wife, Ty, my youngest princess, Carson, my family, mom, mother-in-law, sisters and brothers, friends in life and in Facebook. I dedicate this show to a true difference maker, two of them, Mr. TJ and Mr. Ed, two gentlemen who stopped to assist me when I crashed my car yesterday. I was a little dazed. And so if you like to be a sponsor of us, please email me on onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week, have a merry, merry Christmas.
Your heart light.
have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make it your holiday. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. A shining